This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Today, I'll be teaching the first of two classes titled Come Up Higher. Even though it is a general theme for the whole month, I've not touched it as a topic because a lot of groundwork needed to be done in order for us to get here. And since the beginning of the month, I've handled a lot of wrong belief system, I've handled superstition, I've handled praying the wrong way. I've also taught us, I believe, when we had our communion, I spoke, and the night of glory, I spoke about knowledge. I was deliberate to try to help us to shed some of the things that we believe erroneously. Some of the things we hold on to, like our dreams, that to say, oh, I had a dream, and I told us, hey, you are the master of your own destiny. Nobody remote controls your life outside of the power of dominion God has given you. You have to get to this level in your thinking before you can come up higher. Nobody can come up. It's like when I was in primary school and I was desiring in my heart that I was a graduate of a university. You know, I wanted to graduate from the university, but I was in primary school. It is impossible for you to jump the process and then begin to ascend into heaven. When your belief system is in tatters, when your ability to understand who is in charge of your own life is in tatters, when your faith is shaking and is not on solid ground, how do you want to come up higher when you do not understand the difference between times and seasons and what you are, where you are in now and what you are supposed to be pursuing? So there is no coming up higher just as a talking point or as a prayer point. No, Lord, lift me up and let me stand. It's a measure of knowledge. All of us are in Zion. Every one of us, we were born here. That's what the Bible says. Said they shall say, they were born there. We were born in Zion. You can Google it. He said they shall say. He said in the time when we shall come, those who are in Egypt, they cannot say they were born there. They were not born there. Those who are in Egypt, they were born in Egypt. But he said, as they journeyed through the wilderness, he said the generation is coming. That generation would have entered the promised land. And that generation would say, we were born here. This promised land is where we were born. We were born into Israel. We didn't know Egypt. We were born here. And so you can tell the stories of Egypt, but the generation will come that will not know Egypt. That all they will know is Israel, the promised land. And they will say, we are bona fide citizens of Israel. We were born here. So maybe our forefathers were in Egypt, but we were born here. And that was in the Old Testament. According to scripture, that a season will come where some people will no longer remember Egypt, but they will be able to say with their full chest, we were born here. And the same thing is happening now in this Testament. In this New Testament, some people will be talking about when they were not born again. Oh, I was a Muslim. Oh, my father was a herbalist. My mother was a this. My uncle was a this. If you are born again, what will you say? I was born here. Yeah, you are born in Zion. You are not of those who are not born again or who are just attending church. You are born again, full of the Holy Spirit. Born again means being born, being reborn, the rebirth. So if you are going to talk about yourself, you will say, I was born in Christ, right? I can say it anyway. I was born in Zion, born in Christ. I wasn't born in the world. I was at first born in the world. Then I became born again and I became born in Christ. So I was born here. I came into Zion with my head. I didn't walk in. I was battered into Zion. I belong in this land, on this mount that is elevated beyond all, that the Bible called the lofty place, the Mount Paran of Moses and the Mount Gilgal of Moses. I was born in Mount Sinai, The sinner of the spirit. I was born in Zion, the city of the Most High God. I was born in the city of the great hills, surrounded by multiple angels, ascending and descending, lighting chariots of fire, showing me the way, teaching me the way, surrounding me and protecting me. I was born here. I'm not of the world. I am of the Spirit. I am of Christ. And every born again Christian has the right to say the same thing, that they are products of Zion. But the ones that can ascend and the ones that cannot ascend, the difference between them is knowledge. There is nothing that is greater than you, than a man, than what he does not know. What you don't know is always going to be greater than you. Once you've mastered it, it will no longer be greater than you. In the book of Revelations, if you read from chapter 1, 2, and 3, you are going to see the first particle ascension guide, how a believer can go up higher. The first ascension guide. So before then, we've read stories of Jesus ascending to heaven. Apostle Paul has written about him traveling, going up to heavens and seeing the third heaven. We've heard Stephen in Acts chapter, is it 6 or 7, saying that he looked up and he saw Jesus, he was looking at Zion. We've heard stories, but for the first time in the Bible, we saw how a Christian can leave this earth and go on a journey into the heavens. The practical guide. John, in chapter 1, began to write the story. He wrote it as somebody on this earth. He said he was on an island called Patmos. And that while he was on that island called Patmos, that he started observing certain, let me call them rituals. So when you hear the word ritual, don't think evil. Ritual is something you do religiously, over and over. Like if I ask, what is your morning ritual? You say, when I wake up in the morning, I will pray. When I finish praying, I'll have my breakfast. Then I drop my children in school. And that is repeated over and over again. That's what you call ritual. So again, there are some words that when you hear me use them, they may take your mind away from Christianity, but no. We shouldn't allow the devil to have any word. The devil did not create anything. I do not allow him to have anything. I give him no room in my life to own any language, any word, or any terminology. I do not. So, he said, he would wake up in the morning and pray. That's John. He would pray in the spirit. Then, of course, by that time he was an old man, and they were in a labor camp on that island of Patmos. He was a prisoner there because of Jesus. And it was when they did prisoners with hard labor, it basically means that the person is thrown into prison and will be put to work without pay. He will be working hard at the risk of flogging and other kind of punishment in exchange for the rest of his life. So he was in prison without labor. And while he was in prison, he began to minister the gospel. So again, that he was in prison, he didn't cry that they put him in prison. He didn't say, like many Christians nowadays will say, that, if God is God, I wouldn't have gone to that prison. He would have fought for me. He would have teared the prison. He would have destroyed everybody. Many Christians nowadays are quite entitled their approach to Christianity. They always seem to escape or to save themselves. They think their testimony lies in the escape or lies in the saving of self. That if, when they say that, they mean that God is real. But if they end up in prison, then their God is dead. That is not Christianity. This is Apostle John in prison. And he didn't go to prison because he killed anybody or because he did anything wrong. He went to prison because he was preaching the gospel. And at that time, the gospel was not fashionable to be preached. fashionable or acceptable to be preached. Anyway, as he was praying on the Lord's Day, and don't forget, the Lord's Day here does not mean that it this can only happen to you on Sunday or on Saturday. Apostle Paul said that when people choose certain days, when people choose certain months, he said, but to a believer, every day is a day where you can talk to the Lord. Every moment is a day, in the moment when you can experience the come up higher experience. Said to us, he was praying on the Lord's Day. Suddenly, he entered into what we call a better state. When you are active, the way I am active now, this is my alpha state. My eyes are open, my ears are open, I am talking, my brains are working, I'm pacing. So if every part of my body is responding to my words, this is alpha. This is a human being, what? In a fully human element, using full human senses in order to interact with his environment, in order to interact with other people, being able to put my thoughts together and share them, and you being able to listen to me, you are also in your alpha state. So all of us now, we're in our alpha state. And so he was in his alpha state, just praying in tongues, and suddenly, he found himself in his better state. Your better state defined means a state of meditation. That point where you are in between waking up and sleeping. You are not awake. You are not asleep. Your senses are not dead, as if you have slept, so you don't know what's going on around you. And your senses are not awake, as if you are open-eyed and behaving like somebody in the alpha. You are in between sleep and waking up. You are in that state where sense is at its lowest ability to interact, and yet the metaphysical world is open unto you. Many of you call that state dreaming. But not, don't forget, not the dreaming that you dream that somebody is chasing you up and down. In fact, the best way to put it to you, many of us will know what we call when you are imagining things, not bad things, when you are daydreaming. What we call daydreaming is a better state. You notice that when you are on your bed, you lie down, this usually happens to you begin to dream of your future. So when I was young, I used to lie down on the bed for hours, not minutes, so for hours. I would lay down. I would then be looking at my future when I'm graduating from the university, the job I was going to do, and I'm going to get my, when I was going to get married, when I was going to get my first car, my first house. Then I wanted to have a football career. So I would put my football career on one side. I would see myself playing, scoring goals, beating everybody, playing all over the stadiums of the world. Then I see myself getting the Nobel Prize. Then I see myself launching my books. And I will do this continuously. I can do it for, when I was young, I would do it for 2 hours, 3 hours, conveniently on my bed. Just putting my future together in my mind. That is imagination. But the way I was doing it then, which we call daydreaming, it was more like wishful thinking. It makes me feel happy in my heart. It gives me a picture of my tomorrow. And sometimes it helps you to live outside of your reality. Maybe you are hungry at the time and you don't want to feel hunger again. And there's no food at home to eat. So you lay on your bed, instead of you to be doing you just switch away from your normal environment, and you switch, and you notice that if you do it properly, you will not feel hungry again. Like you would basically just you will just deaden the flesh. You will not feel the hunger again. You'll be gone. When they used to give us fast in church, they'll tell you fast for 7 days, fast for 21 days. I used to do it a lot. When the hunger will be coming, I'll just say, "Kimmy, I'll just switch into my better state. I'll just begin to imagine things, beautiful things. And I'll do it, and I can do it for 3 4 hours. And by the time I'm done, the hunger will have died, and I'll be able to adjust. And so I'm trying to make you see that this is not something that only spiritual people who are speaking in tongues can do. In fact, if you don't know, I'll tell you, unbelievers, people in cults, they do meditation. People that are not Christians, they do what we call meditation. They do the Easter meditation. They do astral traveling. They do all sorts of things. That is the demonic aspect that they are going into because they don't know the light. So meditation, if you check, you will notice that there are so many religions in the world that practice meditation. And the reason for that is because it is something that every human being has the ability to practice. Now, it doesn't matter whether you are Christian, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, you can meditate. That's the point. A lot of Christians don't do it anymore, and it is very, very funny that they don't. Because if you know the light, like John, if you know the light, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and your heart is full of scripture, you know the word of God, and you know the Holy Ghost, you are full of the Holy Ghost, my God, when you meditate, you enter into realms, into corridors of glory, where the secrets of reality will be shared with you. You find yourself sometimes, now after I became born again, this began to happen to me, you find yourself sometimes trying to do that meditation thing in which you just lay down and you are imagining this by yourself, and suddenly you notice that that meditation will be taking over to the point where you can't control it anymore. It will be going to places you didn't say, hey, are you? I'm not kidding. You are enjoying your bed. Oh, there was a day, but I'm going to have one night of glory. Ah. And usually a day for night of glory, maybe on a Thursday, I would not do anything except read the Bible and teach PSSBC. I will not go out. I will not do anything. Now I do it on Tuesday. On Tuesdays, I try to make sure my day is decluttered. I do not do anything. I don't think about anything. I don't want any phone calls. If anybody calls me that day, I will not pick. If you send me a message, I will not reply. Tuesday, I will just wait on the Lord. When I say wait on the Lord, that many people think I'm talking about not eating. That's not true. That's not true. That you want to use fast to kill yourself. That thing, when you are tired of it, you break the yoke of your neck. So when I say waiting on the Lord, I mean waiting. That means waiting. Just like I said it, wait. That means I will not go anywhere. Me and the Lord, we are together in a meeting. Aha, that is waiting on the Lord. Where he goes that day, I will go. Where he goes, we go together. But I will physically be in my room, but we will journey. Where it goes, we will go. So I'll just lay. Sometimes I'll play some good music and sometimes not. Sometimes I'll put on the TV and then I'll put it at low volume so that it will be giving me that static sound. As if I was in a place where people are. I use that one to distract my mind so that I can go into the better state easily. Then I begin to pray in tongues. And then I close my eyes and begin to pray in tongues. And suddenly, I begin to think of a scripture. Awake, awake, oh Lord, faint. Awake, oh south, blow into my garden. As I begin to think of the scripture, I begin to see the scripture. Bam! I just notice that I'm standing, or I'm walking, or I'm seeing from a 3D perspective a place. It could be a seashore, it could be a plane, it could be a green belt, it could be anywhere. It will be quiet. And then I'll begin to have conversations with the Lord. The Lord will begin to teach me things. And when I say the Lord, I mean the Lord Jesus. I mean the Holy Ghost. And this was just John. It was from John I learned it. He said on the day of the Lord, he was in the Spirit. And suddenly he entered into that better state. And when he got into that state, he said he heard a sudden sound. And then there was a transportation of the spirit. Suddenly he saw himself outside of his body. So John was lying down in prison, and then John saw John. The John that he was seeing was not lying down. He was not in prison. He was free. And the next thing the angel said to him, the angel said, come up higher. Come up higher. I want to show you. I want to teach you. I want to reveal to you what is to come. Now, what did I say? I said he was in his better state, BETA, in which he was hanging. In consciously, he was semi-conscious. He wasn't dead. He wasn't asleep. He wasn't in the kappa or gamma state. He was in between sleep and waking up. He was in that corridor. And that corridor, it is easy to enter into the realm of the spirit and begin to have conversations with the Holy Ghost. And believe me, the conversation can go anywhere. You might have in your mind that, when I see the Lord, I'm going to ask him about this. I'm going to ask him about that. When you see him sincerely, the conversation may go, it may go, you will not be in control of the conversation. That's for sure. The angel of the Lord or the Holy Spirit will be in control of his conversation. And all you will be doing is lapping up every information that he can give. He'll begin to tell you about things you need to know, things you don't even want to know, things that are not your business. I mean it. Things that are not your business. The Holy Spirit will tell you. He will tell you the things that he knows that when you know them normally, they could be shocking. So he will tell you ahead. He will tell you many things. And then, as you begin to master this level of meditation and relationship with the Holy Spirit will raise it up a notch. You will then begin to tell you things about yourself, about your ministry, things that pertain to your business, things that pertain to you. And you will notice that with that fresh information, you'll be able to make better decisions. You'll be able to do things better. You'll be able to think better. You will find yourself absent of malice, the ability to be malicious. All the struggles of the flesh that other people are fasting and praying to overcome, you realize that they then lose value to you. If you are somebody that used to like money a lot, you will notice that your love for money will die, even though you are going to be so much richer now. In fact, I noticed that when people are in the flesh, they love money and they enjoy money. I noticed that men of the spirit, they don't love money. They have plenty of it and they just use it. They really don't enjoy it. They really don't take any pleasure in money. I noticed it by default, no? Because I was looking at servants and I was like, wow, there was a time when, if my tiger is mistaken in your pocket, I would just be scheming and plotting how to get my money back. There was a season of my life like that. That if I know that, consciously know that my money is in your hand, or I will have no rest until I get my money back. I got to another level in my walk with the Lord that I even forget. I will not even be mindful. I will not even remember. People will come to me and say, but I mean, God, one time you still did this, so now I've come to, I'm like, wow, I forgot. Why? Because certain things that hold value to you in the flesh will lose their absolute value once you begin to journey higher. Once you begin to have supernatural experiences that prove to you beyond doubt the reality of heaven, the plan of God for the future, the reality of angels, your role that the Lord wants you to play in the things to come, what he wants to tell people, what is important to him, what is important to him. Once you know these things, you will notice that your decision-making process will change. Your life vision, your life philosophy will also change. I'll give you an example. If you asked me 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago, no, if you asked me like 15, 16, 20 years ago, what I see in the future, my own future, and I was born again at the time, I will tell you that I just want to love the Lord. I just want to serve the Lord. That's what I want. That's what I want. When I began to work with the Lord to a certain level, the Lord began to tell me the things that are important. And suddenly I realized how important it is for Christians to have children. I never, ever had a desire for children one way or the other as a person. I never. It wasn't because of any, I just didn't. I've always felt people hold too much importance to them, especially because people are quite selfish and all they think about is themselves. But one day, the Holy Spirit was telling me about the future and the thing that will happen before Jesus will come. And he said, for this reason, the enemy is doing everything to close the womb of Christians and to make them lose interest in marriage, that they will not be able to train their children in a certain way with a certain philosophy so that it can delay the coming of Christ by redistributing the population of the world and ensuring that those who do not believe in Christ are not as much or as many as those who are on the surface of the earth prepared to do what is necessary to be done when the time for the second coming shall come. And immediately he said that to me, he didn't have to tell me, therefore, son of man, tell people that they should have children. I knew immediately that, hey, it is important that we make converts of nations and that we have children. And that is on the period. I share that so that you can understand what it means to begin to have interactions with the Holy Spirit at a certain level and how it will then change your philosophy about money, about children, about marriage, about work, about labor, about relocation, all the things. It seems as if there is an inverted pyramid. The things that the flesh would stake as important are basically the opposite of what the spirit will stake as important. And the more you journey with the spirit, the more the flesh loses its stronghold on your mind and on you, and the more you are given the resources, don't forget that word, resources, the more you are given the resources to achieve the things that God desires of you to achieve for the kingdom. A man of the flesh cannot be trusted with the resources to do the things of the kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar was given the resources and the power to dominate the world. The Bible said his kingdom was from Africa all the way through the Middle East, almost into India. The Bible said one day he looked at all the beautiful things that were happening in his kingdom. He looked at the hanging gardens, he looked at the libraries, he looked at the university where Daniel attended, he looked at the crafts. He looked at the engineering, he looked at the architectural designs, and he said to himself, this is me in my glory and splendor. See what I have achieved. See what I have done. And that day God said, you didn't do these things. I made you do these things. Daniel said to himself, in fact, he saw a vision. He woke up. Daniel said to him, Daniel said, the king of heaven said to tell you, was I not the one that made you? Did I not do these things through you? Why then do you take the glory for yourself? So when I see men of the flesh, they are doing spiritual things. Maybe the man built a church. Or maybe he sponsored Christians to school. Or maybe he built a hospital. Or if he did anything that is deemed charitable, you will see how men would boast of it, how they would take the glory in it, how they would put their name on it so that everybody would know they did it. And that then defeats the purpose for which Christ has called every one of us with a holy calling. And therefore, men of the flesh cannot be given spiritual access or spiritual resources because they will end up like Nebuchadnezzar. They will end up like Nebuchadnezzar. They cannot understand the use of the resources. They will have 1,000 wives. They will have 10,000 children. They would own everything and turn everybody to a slave. They will build the Tower of Babel and they will want to sit at the head of the pyramid. They will become queen bees of anthills of the savannah. They will just build everything around themselves. So men of the spirit, men of the flesh usually cannot execute the things of the spirit. So what men of the flesh can do is they will build. They can have money, they will build, but you will note in their words, in their action, that they didn't really build for God. They actually built in order to enhance their reputation among other men. So men of the spirit, once the Lord has given you assignments, divinely ordained assignments. So you will notice what John now did in Revelation chapter 2. He was still seeing the vision. First, he saw Jesus. He saw him in his new state, in his glorious state. Jesus now began to speak to him. Remember, I told you, he was in a better state. So now, he first met an angel. The angel said, come up here, let me show you. It was the angel that took him to Jesus. So when he got to where Jesus was, he said he was looking. He saw somebody with bones leg. He saw its eyes of fire. He saw hair as white as wool. He was looking at him in this way, because he couldn't recognize Jesus. Jesus has changed from his earthly terrestrial state into his celestial nature. So he couldn't recognize Jesus. He was like, who is this? Who is this? What am I looking at? Then suddenly Jesus found. And he saw Jesus, he saw his eyes. He said, I fell before him like one who is dead. Then Jesus pulled him up. Just said, John, get up. How are you? Sir. John couldn't stand up. His whole body was on fire. He was shaking. John, get up. My Lord, my Lord. Jesus Christ said, I have a message for you. What did I say? Now, when you're in your better state, you begin to have interactions where you will then be told things. He said, I have a message for you. Write a letter now to the seven churches. Aha. So John was in a vision and Jesus began to talk to him about the seven churches. How did Jesus start? John started by seeing the menorah, the seven lampstands. Now, when you see the seven lampstands, they didn't know. It was the key to destruction. Most of the time, before many of us who see things by the Spirit, before you begin to articulate what God is telling you, you first begin to see. Visions lead to prophecies. So John began to see, saw several lampstands, saw several candlesticks, all of them connected, but all of them burning individually, but they are connected at the base. So they have one stand, and then they branch into several places, each with its own light. But all of them were connected, so they were not individual. They were connected to the stem. And he was wondering, what am I seeing? And then he said, oh, these are the seven spirits of God. Oh, okay, seven spirits of God, the menorah. And then he said, write the letter to the seven churches. The seven churches guided by these seven spirits of God. And God tell them, oh, talk to the church in Laodicea, right? To the church in Smyrna, right? Church in Philippi, right? And then he began to give them instructions. Which, if you follow that example, you will then notice that you that will say, oh, my gift is doing me. I just be sleeping. I'll not see my grandmother. I will see my grandfather. John did not see his relatives. He didn't see his grandfather, his grandmother. He didn't, his earthly flesh, his earthly nature, he was decoupled from it. The world we live here on this earth, this reality of this earth, this terrestrial material world, is not your family in the spirit. This is not your family in the spirit. In the spirit, you belong to the lineage of Jesus. You belong to the family of Christ, not joined to anybody by blood. So again, some people say they are having spiritual dreams, spiritual this, but they saw themselves in their father's, actually father's house, in the school they attend, they don't know. These are what we call mixed realities. A person who is aiming to go up higher, but found himself either going lower or staying where he is, or going into a corridor that is not even of God. In the realm of the spirit, there are two corridors. The corridors of light and the corridors of darkness. Everything I'm telling you, witches also do it. When they tell you witches fly at night, and they will say witches were for meeting, they are in their better state, but they go into the darkness and they begin to discuss things there. But you will notice that they do not ascend, they are descending. So they discuss things from underneath the earth. And they begin to try to see how they can influence people's life and reality from there. But we are ascending spirits. Therefore, we see things from above. Glory to God. I know I'm speaking so much English. So let's take a breather. You understand the class so far? Can I see your hand? You understand the class so far? It's simple enough. It's not hard. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for the feedback. All right. So then John first met the angel. This angel will call him the spirit guide. Note that I said, do not misuse or misapply any of my terminologies. If you Google spirit guide, you will see another kind of spirit. That the world or AI or whatever, they are not Christian terms. But all these things are Christian according to the scriptures. But the world is trying so hard to change all the terminologies and equate them to modern sciences or modern spiritology or Islamic or whatever. But I'm teaching you as a Christian. I'm teaching you as one who has been in this corridor and is working in this corridor, has been working in this corridor unfailingly since 2016. Not failing in a season or in a year. There is no time I ever said, oh, the Lord left me. I now backslided. Never. Never. Or that I came out of that realm. Never. I'm telling you. So I'm used to this. I teach this for a living. So the angel of the Lord first appeared to him and showed him the low-hanging fruits. And the angel took him to Jesus. Now, when he got to Jesus, you will notice that the angel did not say anything. Because he will talk to Jesus himself. He does not need anybody to explain to him. When he saw Jesus, he recognized Jesus by himself. He didn't need any introduction. When you see the Lord, when you see him, you will know. He will know you and call you by your name. And you will know, this is my Lord. You will know. And he will talk to you. Jesus will speak to you. In this higher journey, Jesus will talk to you so that you will know forever that you belong to him. Christians, every Christian, Jesus has a talking to. There is an opportunity for you to talk to the Lord. It gives you peace of mind. Makes you know forever that you belong to the Lord. There are some Christians here. They say, I'm a dreamer. I want you to show me this in dreams, but they've never seen Jesus before, not once. They've never met any angel of God. They've never met the Holy Spirit. It's only village people. Maybe they see their pastor. And then somebody told somebody that if they see their pastor, it's God they are seeing. That's not true. God does not appear to you as your pastor at all. That's a lie. Or let me call it a lie. Let me call it lack of understanding or a mundane interpretation of reality. God does not appear to anybody as a person's pastor. That's not true. That is not true. Absolutely not true. God does not shift images. God does not shift shape. God is God. When you hear the voice of God, you will know. And the voice of God, it makes everything pulsate and live. Glory to God. But because of time, I will still teach on this tomorrow, being the final day, so that those of us who are joining from the beginning, who this is what you want to learn, you will not go empty-handed, because I focused on those who are joining us from outside, who this is not their level yet. So he spoke with Jesus. Now, speaking with Jesus does something to you. Once you have a conversation with Jesus, it opens up your spirit to higher realms. You notice that he spoke with Jesus in chapter 2. And Jesus spoke to him, and Jesus told him, I'm the Alpha, I'm the Omega, I'm the beginning, I'm the end, and this and that. Jesus introduced himself by his true name and true nature. And after Jesus did that, Jesus said, okay, write a letter to all the churches, and he wrote all the letters to all the churches. And then the vision with Jesus closed. What happened after? Chapter 4. What was that? Suddenly, he was taken to the throne of God. The throne of God, which is another level in the hierarchy of your journeys. That a Christian does not know the hierarchy of heaven, that you don't even know what heaven looks like. But you are born here. There's somebody being born in New York and not knowing New York. Somebody being born in Nevada and not knowing Nevada, even though you are living there. This is where you live. Perpetually we dwell here. So it is only right that you understand the constitution, authority, and the powers that are working, that are at work where we are now. It is only right that you know this thing, that you are conversant with these things, that these things are true and real in your consciousness. So then the angel took him the next level to see the throne of God as it was, not as it is. Revelation chapter 4 is the throne of God as it was before Jesus died and resurrected. The angel wanted John to see the difference. When the government of heaven will sit on the matter, in the Old Testament, there are 24 elders, and the throne of God and all the angels and beings were there, and John saw that in Revelation 4, and how all of them will worship God, and John became enlightened that, okay, this is what used to happen in the past. So in the realm of the spirit, past, present, and future are all at variance. You can go to the front, you can go to the past, just for clarity. You will then notice that immediately after this, in Revelation chapter 5, he now showed John again the vision of how Jesus triumphed the throne of heaven again, but this time with Jesus's throne present. So you see Revelation 4 without the throne of Jesus, Revelation 5, the enthronement of Jesus. So therefore, John became convinced in his spirit forever and ever that Jesus is indeed has triumphed, and we have become members of his tribe, and he has been given the scepter, he has been given the mandate, he has been given the authority of heaven. Now imagine that John had a revelation maybe one evening. How he knew God before he slept will not be how he knew God after he woke up. He would have been enlightened in his spirit. Now he knows the impact of the name of Jesus. So if so I see people, they will call the name of Jesus, we don't answer to them. Several people, pastors, you know, I've told you before, pastors don't want, they will gather, they will be praying. There's one boy, someone first saw him, went by him. Ah, somebody remind me, there was a day we were doing Bible reading years ago. Some of the people in school, went to school five, remember. There was a boy that the pastor called us and said that we should pray for to raise the boy from the dead. Who remember that case? What's the name of that boy? There's one boy. Who remember? Somebody. Oh yeah. Who remember? But actually, what's the name of that boy? Remind me. Somebody should remember that case here. That case, we were doing Bible reading. This pastor, this RCCG pastor called in and said, the boy that woke up in a sack that you are going to bury like this. If you remember that case, can I see your hand? If you don't remember the name of that boy, you should pay fine. But if you remember that case, can I see your hand? You should remember those in school one, school two, school three. You should remember this case. Is it Dominion? Is the name of that boy Dominion? I've forgotten the name of that boy. The boy is still alive now. Glory to God. All right. But there was a case like that I wanted to reference several months ago. So you see, this pastor, he hasn't had this experience I'm talking about, but he's a pastor. But he has never had a come up higher experience. But he's a pastor and a genuine born again, but he has never had a come up higher experience. So this pastor then, in his church, the son of a member died. And the pastor had been following me on Twitter for some time. And they brought the dead boy to church. And they prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And the boy did not come back from the dead. And then they took the boy home. And they started calling. And we were doing the 7 p.m. Bible reading. We still do it now. In those early days, we were doing the 7 p.m. Bible reading. And in those days, I used to be the one that would moderate the Bible study in those early days. So I was moderating the Bible studies when they called me on my second phone and they told me the case of this boy. So I told everybody that, okay, let's do practical now. All of us on this call, let's pray for this boy. So we muted, instead of reading the Bible, we switched to praying for the boy. We prayed for that boy. We prayed for that boy. We declared that she would come back from the dead. We declared it together. Then we finished by around 7, we closed. Now, when it was around 8 p.m., the boy did not wake up from the dead. The father then put him in a sack. The boy's name is Dominion, I believe. The father put him in a sack. They closed the sack. They tied the sack. The father was going to go into a forest, dig, and bury him. Boy is like 6 years old, so 6 years old or five or six. But the father was going to bury him, he was dead. So the father carried him, they drove somewhere, then the father took him into the forest area with shovels and he was going to bury the boy. Only for them to get to the place where they buried the boy, and they noticed that the sack began to shake. They opened the sack and the boy was alive. If you see how all of us were screaming. The reason that can happen is because there is a difference between knowing the name of Jesus because somebody told you the story of Jesus, or because you read the name of Jesus in the Bible, or because you read the miracles of Jesus. There's a difference between that and meeting Jesus in the Spirit. There's something that happens to you when you encounter Jesus in the realm of the Spirit. That thing happens to you in a I cannot explain. It's like when when I was much younger, some people here will understand this, or some Nigerians will understand this. When they say the transformer of your area has blown, and there is no light, and the whole community has been in darkness for months or weeks, and suddenly, unexpectedly, around 7 p.m. or 8 p.m., with all the gadgets in the house on, they bring the light. And there is this shock because everyone just lights up, bam! And then there is this shock, and then people begin to shout. That's what happens to your spirit. Illumination, a sudden light. Just like you read in Acts of Apostles chapter 9, a sudden light will hit your spirit. That light cannot be described. But it affects your consciousness. When you call the name of Jesus, I'm telling you before God, you can call the name of Jesus and a cup of water on your table will break. Like it will splinter. Like you call the name of Jesus. I'm not kidding. Because of the power that is in you, you call the name of Jesus and this will happen. You'll be like, hey, what did I do? Because you've been calling the name of Jesus before, and it's just a word. And now you call the name of Jesus, and then there is this surge of power, this surge of energy. You can't describe it. It just changes from within you. Every cell in you, every fiber in you, every part of you, every hormone, all your system will be shaken to the core. Hi, have they been deny. Hey, just the name of Jesus. Just the name of Jesus. And you will just notice that things are happening. You will hold a cup of cold water, it will become hot. You are praying in tongues. There is heat. There is heat everywhere. You are praying in tongues, and suddenly you are like, I'm not comfortable with this heat. And the whole room will become so cold, you have to wear a pullover. If you know the amount of pullovers I have pullover, hoodie. Hey, that season of my life, I will be in my own room or in a hotel room, and it will be like Siberia. It will be cold. My teeth will be doing, and I'll be like, oh my God, what did I do? Then I'll say, okay, it's too cold. I want it to become warm, and then it will go the opposite direction. The name of Jesus, the impact it has in the control of the environment, control of the reality, control of elements, and the power it has to bring life, the power it has to change businesses, to change directions, to turn things around, it is powerful. That kind of change, if you experience that in the spirit. And then when you come back into the consciousness in your flesh, you see how easy it is to turn things around. How easy it is to turn things around. And I'm not saying this so that somebody will say, but I mean, that's why I'm praying for me. See me saying it. Nobody should write to me and say, but I mean, no, I want to have the experience. That's why I'm teaching it. I do not teach these things so that somebody would build a pedestal and put their forefather there. I know anybody's forefather. I'm your brother. I'm not one pastor. In fact, if you see me on the streets, don't greet me. I will not greet you too. Let everybody pass and pass to their father's house. So everybody should write to me and say, I mean, can pay for me. This is a relative for me. If that's what you want, you're on your own. I will just direct your case to those who will handle it. We've had this experience a lot in GSWMI, and so I'm not the only one that has it. Glory to God. And everybody is recording their testimony according to their walk in God by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll continue this class tomorrow. It's time to give our offering. I'm teaching this class because I want to have partakers of this class. Those who will journey with the Spirit. Hi, I pray. You give this offering praying in tongues, please. You cannot hear about the Lord Jesus and heaven and not be stirred by your spirit to pray. Just give this praying in tongues. Give God glory in your tongues as you pray. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Worship the Lord with your tongues. Be quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit, your inner man, with might. Be quickened with might, your inner man. Let there be ascensions tonight. Let there be enthronements. Let those who have never come up higher, let them experience it tonight. Let the words of heard, let it be quickened in their heart, to open their eyes to see, and let them journey with the Spirit. Let there be pulling up. Let there be a pulling up. Let there be a bringing upward. Let there be a bringing outward. Let there be an enthronement by the Spirit, a journeying into. Hey, let there be the flash of light. The sounds from heaven. Apostle Paul said, I heard the sound. I heard the sound. John said, I heard the sound. I heard the sound. Apostle Paul said, I saw a light. I saw a light. Hey, Olivia, Kaidonia. Hey, Kepodiliano. Ibadia, Kasitigania. Hi. Hey, let there be a confrontation and an encounter of the Spirit. A drawing of a magnet onto the iron. Let there be a capuchitia satire. The meeting of the Spirit and his guide. Let there be. Hey, the connection of the Spirit and the celestial. Let there be that the word of God being heard may be imparted upon the people. Let there be enlightenment in the Spirit. Let those who used to see at low level begin to see the bright light of the Spirit, the entrance of your word. Bring us forth light and understanding. Let this is the word of God tonight. To the assembly of saints, receive it and dwell in it, and let there be a direction and a redirection of parts and realities. Glory to God forevermore for answered prayers, for in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.